The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Two of a numbers game here on a Friday. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. He'll be back with you here in a week or so, getting some rest and relaxation. Kelly Bidlin on the desk with me. Just talked some NFL MVP. Kelly brought up Deshaun Watson. I was like, no chance in hell. No way.
No shot.
He is hated.
Apparently he's going to get traded too. I heard that this morning.
He is hated. Not happening.
Heard he's getting traded for Daniel Jones this morning.
The other thing that you brought up with Aaron Rodgers, and listen, he is not universally disliked as much as Deshaun Watson is. There are, I think, enough people out there, and Aaron Rodgers probably did enough damage in this like injured season where he basically would go on and he didn't want to talk really about football. He just wanted to talk about everything else on the face of the planet and create controversy and all this stuff like that. I think enough people got tired of the shtick, you know, of the, oh, I'm coming back. Like, no, you're not. You shredded your Achilles in week one. No, you're not. You're not coming back. And then it's like, then he's going off on all the stuff and whatever. It's like, why are we even talking about COVID like 2 years, 3 years later? Like, what are we even doing? It's just, I think there's enough people who are going to look at him and go, like, if I could vote him third and get away with it, I think I'll vote him third and get away with it.
Also wondering now, I mean, now we're talking about this, the, you know, it's a media, you know, voted on award for the most part. Not only what he's done, but like, does his connection with Pat McAfee and that show and just the clear, I mean, look, there's a lot of people in the media that are not big fans of the way that Pat McAfee's show is handled and was brought about and landed on ESPN, and that they have some very highly paid guests and stuff like that. And who knows, maybe people that hold something against Pat would punish Aaron Rodgers for it as well.
Which you and I don't care about. I don't care. Pat McAfee can spend his money. Yeah, he can spend his money however he wants to.
Spend it however he wants.
Yeah, I don't care.
You know there's some people that care about that.
Oh, there are, because old school journalists are like, no, people should want to be on your show. People should be, it's a privilege for them to be on your show. And it's like, Adam Schefter and Aaron Rodgers are like really busy.
Nick Saban's
very busy. So like, you know, if you want to compensate them to get their time every single week at the same day and same time, I have no problem with that. I get it.
Yeah. It's just, I know how petty we can be. We can be in the media sometimes. I bet you there's a few people that would hold on to that.
There is for sure. Yeah. There are a lot of people who, I mean, we still hear it every single time that one of them comes on. It doesn't matter who it is. If it's Schefter, it's like, oh, it's a paid spot. Here comes Saban. Oh, he just made more money. It's like, well, okay. Yeah. He did. I mean, whatever.
The one thing I'm actually not getting now is how is he having trouble luring Bill Belichick? Right? Isn't that the one? Right? Like, it's like, now that we all know like how much he's paying guys, like you can't Belichick.
Bill Belichick doesn't. I honestly think Bill Belichick does not care about anything externally other than what is happening between the lines on a football
field. I think you're right. Like, he's that guy who's got so much money that probably looks around at his house sometimes where he's like, this house is too big. Listen, how am I supposed to walk from all the way over here to over there?
There are some people who are pretty creative out there. How many home run commercials could you have put Bill Belichick in about him just not caring the coolest thing, whatever, like, you know, you roll out the newest BMW, whatever, and it's like everyone's like, oh my god, and it's Bill Belichick going, I'm not impressed or whatever, you know, whatever. Like, there's like so many, yeah, there's so many different little things that you could have done. He just doesn't care. He doesn't want the money. Doesn't matter. He's already rich. Yeah. He doesn't want to have to commit the time to it. He doesn't care.
I do enjoy the stories where it sounds like what Mahomes had to twist Andy Reid's arm a little bit to do some of the commercials. Yeah. And he's great. Like, he's awesome in those.
Love. He really is. I'm actually glad about the Andy Reid thing too, because it just, you do hear from everyone that actually knows him in real life goes, oh dude, the guy's hilarious. He's so fun to be with. Yeah. You go and like put down a few pops with him, you know, it's great. So it was good to see that. You don't hear that about Belichick.
No, you don't.
You don't hear that about him. Nobody's like, you know what? He's great to go drinking with. Like, no, don't. I've never heard that.
The chef's commercial. I love that one.
Never
Who are the chefs?
Yeah, never heard that one. All right, so let's take a look here. We talked some MVP stuff. Like I said, I made a case for putting a golf ticket into your account. Like, again, is it likely to hit? No, but what we're doing when we're putting these long shot tickets in our account is we're just trying to get the guy to play his way into a situation where he could win. And then if that's the case, you can monetize that ticket along the way. So I think at 30-1, given all the stuff that I said about great offensive line, great playmakers, year two of some young studs, might even add, like you said, Kev, somewhere along the way, maybe in second or third round of the draft or whatever. They'll probably address defense in the first round, I would imagine. But you know, they need a defensive player.
Yeah, but it's a deep wide receiver class, and you're right. Like, you could do one, you know, mid round, and then what's the probability that he's at Josh Reynolds level or around there? Or you never know with rookie wide receivers. Sometimes they're really good when you don't expect them to be that great.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. So that was my case for Jared Goff. Listen, I think that if you want to tell me that there are some other these short shots that are far more likely to get there, my answer would be like, yeah, I agree. Like, they are. But like, that's why we're putting the 30 into our account. Maybe we can monetize that down the way if we get some really good play out of Jared Goff in this offense like we saw this past season. There are some big-name wide receivers that are going to be on the market. We're trying to figure out where these guys are going to be playing next season. Mike Evans being one of the very top guys out there. Mike Evans certainly on the other side of the 30 curve here, Kelly. And we know with wide receivers, you hit 30, production tends to go down. This is not opinion on my – you can look at the stats. Like, this is just the way that it goes. Julio Jones was awesome until he wasn't. You know, I mean, this is just the same deal with Mike Evans. He continues to put up 1,000-yard seasons, but one of these seasons – I'm not saying it's going to be this one. He's going to walk out there. He's going to look like a completely different guy. It's the same thing that happened to Julio Jones. And so you look here, Bucks minus 165 to keep him, Bears at plus 650, Texans at plus 750, Chiefs at 14-1. Oh, wouldn't that be amazing? Give me a season with Mahomes and Mike Evans. Just let me see that. That would be amazing. Falcons 14-1, Cardinals 16-1, Patriots 16-1, Panthers 16-1, Colts 25, and then Commanders 35. We can kind of go backwards here with all this. Like we say, Caleb, the Cardinals, we fully expect them to draft Marvin Harrison with the 4th overall pick. They're not going to then be in the Mike Evans market. I don't really get the Falcons deal. You've got Pitts, you've got Bijan Robinson, you got Drake London. What do you need with Mike Evans? I think that money could be better spent elsewhere.
I mean, going back to a couple of things that we said yesterday about some of these markets, I start with just which ones can we cross off off the top? And I agree with you on both of those so far.
Because what are the Falcons? That would be like adding a luxury pick almost unnecessarily.
Right.
You know?
Well, and also, like, I usually don't like to play this game, but you're kind of similar build, right, to like a Drake London, a Kyle Pitts, like the way you'd want to use them. You're getting you would use Evans that same sort of way.
You would also like to think that they utilize Bijan more this year Art Smith did. And also, I don't know. I don't know if there's enough targets to go around for a guy like Mike Evans. You need him to be your one, you know, or at least a 1A, 1B type deal. Chiefs, like I said, that would just be the dream. I would love to see Patrick Mahomes throw to him for a season, even if it was 1 year. Just let me. I would love to see that.
Yeah, I think that would be a deal dependent one to me, though. Like, for the Chiefs, because that's bring him in on a 1 year deal, something like that. Yeah, sure, sign me up right now. I think that makes a ton of sense. But I don't feel like this is where you're trying to figure out what's important to Mike Evans. Yep. You know what I mean? And that's what's tough to figure out.
That's why the Chiefs might make sense, right? Because you know they're going to be contenders. You're catching passes from a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs would probably be willing to do a short-term deal if he's like, you know what, I just want to do a 2-year deal and I'll go sign somewhere else, or whatever it might be. They might be willing to do kind of a 2-year deal with him because, look, they're maximizing their window as well. Kelsey's got, what, 2-3 good years left, maybe?
That's a good point,
You know, so it's kind of like, okay, bring him in, we make another
even
run.
Even if Chris Jones comes back, same sort of thing.
And then we got to start recycling all this. You know, now we got to get another, now we got to get a new tight end. We need to get a new wide receiver. So that makes a lot of sense. Of course, the Texans need a true wide receiver one. They have a whole bunch of twos and that's worked for them. Nico Collins, Tank Dell, whatever, like all these guys, like they have a whole bunch of twos. They don't have an alpha one. And so that could,
I think I'd be more aggressive than this if I were them though. Yeah. Like, I think when we go to talk T. Higgins and stuff, that's the guys I'd be going after if I'm the Texans.
Sure. And then the Bears, we've heard, definitely want a secondary option there in town. They also have a lot of cap space, so they could make a move like that. I think if a bet were to be made, I don't want to like throw cold water on this, but Bears or Texans to me would be the two teams that make the most sense. I would love it to be the Chiefs, but like you said, I think the Chiefs at least start with our next guy here, which would be T. Higgins.
Real quick, thoughts on Panthers with any of these wide receivers? Like that, I was going to make the case of the opposite of the Chiefs, right? If he's just caring about getting a big bag of money from someone,
so there,
the Panthers could be a team.
So therein lies the dilemma. Where is the mindset with these guys?
Exactly.
Because you're signing up to lose.
No, totally.
So you're signing up to lose. And I don't know if Mike Evans is at that point in his career where he's like, yeah, I'll go to a 4-win team.
I don't know that he is either, but he might be, right? He's got a Super Bowl ring. Like, he's put up big seasons.
I hear money is awesome, too.
I hear that as well.
I hear money is awesome as well. Listen, we're not going to have time to get these. We're going to have to kick this down.
We're going to have to kick
this down and talk about T. Higgins and Steph Diggs a little bit later, because both of these guys are going to be massive cogs, you know, in how things all break down for all of these teams right here. But circle back, I said, that's now we're handicapping the mindset, right? Like, it says Patriots, it says Panthers. You're signing up to lose. So it's like, if you could go there, but you would have to understand that you're doing it strictly for the money. Your stats are going to go down. Maybe your legacy gets dinged a little bit because people look like at you as, oh, you're over the hill, when really it's just you're in bad situation. So I would like to think Mike Evans wouldn't do that, but who knows? Who knows? Like we said, money's cool. Money's great.
Money's cool. Yeah.
I've never been able to do what he's able to do with the amount of money that he makes. So
I guess the other part of that too is that if we're talking about those two being realistic, then it is probably that realistic, if not more, that he just returns to Tampa, right? Like if we're talking about New England and Carolina being seriously in the mix, then Tampa's still seriously.
The Colts on this list, because it's still up in the air whether they re-sign Pittman or not, and so that's why they're on here, because it's like, oh well, if he goes, then there's going to be a need for that team as well. So that's kind of why we're sitting here with this. Let's talk some T. Higgins. We'll talk some Steph Diggs, and we also have some other markets out there that we will get to over the course of the next three segments as well. Matt Brown, Kelly Bailey, come back here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, you don't have to wake up lonely at that home of yours, roll out of bed. You'll have a friend in Bill 80 every single day if you go down and subscribe to the VSiN newsletter. It's absolutely free. You can wake up like I do to the words of Bill 80, VSiN.com/newsletter. He's giving you insights into some of the picks that people are making over on the site, give you a little strategy. He even throws in some nuggets here and there about his exploits around town. Kelly, you know, he's a man about town, this Bill 80, and so every now and then drop in that little like, oh, when I was on the glass at the Knights game last night, you know? It's like it throws that stuff in there every now and then. We're just like, oh, all right, we get it. You got a nice life, Bill. Got a nice life. I was invited to the Super Bowl, you know. It's like, all right, well, you know, it's good stuff. But anyway,
it is the first thing I read every morning,
it
too.
That's what I said. You can wake up just like we did.
Yeah, it is totally the first thing that I scan every single morning, without a doubt. Whoever's texted me that I missed the night before, if they're...
Yeah,
like there's that many people texting me. If there's any of that or any messages, I'll read those quick. And then it is Bill 80's newsletter.
There it is. VSiN.com/newsletter. Absolutely free. Be sure and take advantage of it. Kelly, we're underway over at the Genesis. They're out there.
Yeah, I'm making a bet right now.
They're out there for round two. A little stat that somehow got by me yesterday. Luke List, who had played his way into the top of the leaderboard,
gained 74 strokes putting.
Made 224 feet of putts in a single round, which is the most by any player in a single round on tour. That's a lot of putts. Like, yeah. You'll see Scotties, and Scotties are always like, Scotty made like 61 feet of putts, you know, like over the course of because he puts it so close and then misses the close one. So it's just like Scotty always just like hitting these little tap-ins from an inch out. And it's like, oh, my God, that is just unbelievable. 224 feet of putts.
Yeah, that's wild.
Good on him.
All right, I got to watch Tony Finau because he's on hole two after birding one. I think I'm going to jump in on him at a long price. He's like 70-1 live right now.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
I got you. Jason Day, your current leader, because he eagled the first.
It's a good way to start.
Yes. So he has eagled the first. Jason Day, We'll keep you updated here over the next
The youngster,
bit.
Nick Dunlap, up there on the first page of the leaderboard.
Nick Dunlap getting it done. And good on him, right?
What a life. Can you imagine?
It's just, I know. I mean.
Imagine winning a golf tournament one week, taking all of pretending like you needed 2 days to decide whether you're going to drop out of school or not. Like, because you knew immediately, right? Like that night when you're partying, I'm like, I am so leaving school the first moment I can.
I don't know. Maybe he went back to just see what the reception was going to be by the ladies whenever.
That's not a bad move either.
He needed 48 hours to assess what the ladies' situation was like. You're like, yeah, I just want a PGA Tour event. I just want to let y'all know. Oh, and then they're kind of like, do you play football? And he's like, no. And they're like, okay, I'm like that's what it was. They're like, do you play football? And he's like, no, I'm a golfer. And they're like, okay, yeah, yeah.
He's like, all right, I got everything out.
Can you point me in the direction of the backup quarterback? Like, is he around anywhere? And it's like, all right, there he goes. So off to the tour he goes.
Now he gets to make some money.
Yes, off to the tour.
Signature event too, man. You cash in this. Oh man, what is he like? 20? I mean, it was a sophomore in college, right? 20.
Yeah. He got to play the guarantee. So that's the other thing. He's played in some of the, I mean, I know this one technically has a cut, but again, like he's basically gotten to play into two guaranteed events to start his career. So he's making money right off the bat.
And then like with how much golf's changed, like we've talked about how many careers it's hurt. Like this kid just walks in right away and the prize money's like, 20X what it used to be like just 7 years ago in some of these events. It's like, oh, hey, like I go win a couple of these and like I've made enough for my entire career. Great.
I'm just imagining that pitch to him in the bars in Tuscaloosa and he goes back and he's all like walking around, like going to hit on the ladies. He's like, hey, don't know if you know or not. I just won a PGA Tour event. Like, oh, really? How much did you win? He's like, nothing.
Nothing.
Bragging rights, actually. Nothing. Yeah, I didn't actually win anything.
And then
I got
you're
no money
sitting there balancing the phone calls that you're getting from sponsors, PGA Tour, Live probably, all of that. And then thinking about whether you should prepare for your, I don't know, history exam that you have the next day or something like that. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's a pretty easy
choice.
She's
like, I just made out with a backup holder, and he said he makes $50,000 a year NIL. You know, so it's like, yeah. So, I mean, there's just nothing going on for him. He's just like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think the golf team's at all NIL.
I'll just go ahead and take it out on the road here. All right, so T. Higgins, a very, very big name, a name that you're going to hear a ton over free agency because this guy is an absolute game changer and someone that can step in and really make a team incredibly good from day one. We saw what he's been able to do with Joe Burrow at quarterback, and you've seen what he's been able to do when Ja'Marr Chase wasn't in the lineup, and that's the thing. So we've seen him be a wide receiver one. This isn't a speculation that he can be a wide receiver one. Ja'Marr Chase has missed time over the last two seasons, and with that, you have seen what you get out of T. Higgins. So T. Higgins, next team Bengals, because again, they could franchise. They could. So -500 on Cincinnati because again they could.
Oh, franchise. That's the reason why that price is that because of the franchise tag possibility.
So they could franchise him. Titans at 5-1, Jags at 12-1, Panthers 14-1, Patriots 15-1, Chiefs 15-1, and then you get 20-1 on the Texans, Bears, and then the Cardinals 25, and so are the Giants. So the reason being is because they could franchise him now. The problem, I guess, with franchising him is, one, you probably make him pretty upset, and then you know for sure you're not going to re-sign him after that. So you're getting a one-year rental on a guy that is going to be disgruntled. He's not gruntled, Kelly.
We prefer them to be gruntled.
We like our wide receivers gruntled and not disgruntled. And so he's going to be disgruntled. So, I mean, I don't – that being said, it'd be very hard to just let him walk. I mean, I think they would franchise him.
Well, yeah, because if you're getting that sense anyways, then we're tagging you. We're going to get the best that we can for 1 year of a 1 year window with Burrow, Chase, everybody together, because it doesn't matter how
you're going to let Boyd walk for sure. Right. So Boyd's going to walk for sure. So what they could do is tag him, draft either a Brock Bowers or a wide receiver or something like that in that slot at 18 to groom them for a year to let Higgins walk the next year.
Right.
And then you still have that 1-2 punch with Chase and whoever you drafted.
Man, the franchise tag is what a thing it is. Cause it is like, it's the ultimate, insult. We're going to halt your career for a year, but then on the flip side, like we're going to pay, what is it? The average of the top five at the position. Yeah. Like it's a huge bag of money.
So yes, but you get it for a year.
Yes.
Yes. You get it for un year, and then after that, like...
And pray you don't get injured.
And, yeah, exactly. And pray you don't get injured. So that's why they hate it, and I don't blame them for hating it when it comes down to it. But I don't think that it is going to be a situation where they let him walk. And I really kind of wish they would, but it's just... Look, they understand how the NFL works. If you have a healthy Burrow coming back off of this injury, you have to maximize a healthy Burrow, right? Like, you can't just waste a year of a healthy Joe Burrow.
Right. That's what I was going to say. It doesn't matter that Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow are young. You can't waste a year. I don't care where it happens in their career. You can't waste a year of the potential that you could put out on the field.
Yeah, well, especially when the team, this isn't like a reset situation for Cincinnati. Like, the team's still pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, they need to add some stuff on defense, and they will, and they probably need to add another lineman, and they probably will. But again, it's not one of the deals where we're looking at some of these teams going, well, I mean, they're a 4-win team anyway, or 5-win team anyway, so who cares?
Right.
Like, no, this team thinks that they can win 10, 11, 12 games. And so with that, you can't just waste it. So that's why that sits where it is for T. Higgins. It's I'm hoping that it's elsewhere. Steph Diggs is an interesting case as well.
Yeah, you've
got Steph Diggs, who, as we saw multiple times over the course of the season, Kelly, was incredibly, incredibly frustrated over on the sideline. Then you see his production kind of fall off as well.
Yep.
And then you're like, oh, what is going on here with all this? And then you start to see his target share go down as well. So then becomes, hey, are him and Josh Allen beefing? They got a problem? Is that what's going on? And like, so then that becomes off-field drama.
Yeah.
There's just a ton.
All I know is he's always going to be on the receiving end of what should have been one of the greatest highlights we've ever seen in a playoff game, but you couldn't hold on to the ball, Diggs.
Yeah. It's just a very odd situation. And like, now it almost feels, because you see that the Bills are only minus 300. It almost feels as if like this is a cut type situation or whatever, because it's just a deal where, or a trade, you know, whatever. I mean, a release or a trade type deal with him, because it seems like there's just a lot of sentiment that he's not happy there. Maybe they're not happy with him. And so now you start to see these other teams, and the Chiefs and the Patriots and the Texans and the Bears, that are all like not that long odds. I mean, 10 and 12 to 1, even the Ravens sitting there at 12 to 1, look like they're going to move on from Odell, even though apparently he was super popular in the locker room.
I kind of like that one right there, Matt.
I was going to say, like, I think they might move on.
Dude, I think we just found the most valuable one of the wide receivers so far, because I don't think that should be minus 300 on Buffalo. I understand them being favorites.
Yeah.
But everything you just talked about, we all saw play out last year. Everybody did.
All the beat writers are saying that it seems like the relationship is too fractured and all that. And listen, everything can change in a kumbaya meeting.
Yep.
And we also talked about, you know, that whole money thing. Money.
Yeah, money helps.
Money helps and whatever. But it does seem like this relationship's a little too fractured here. And I do think he's at least going to be very, very, very talked about to be out of town.
Yeah, I think so, too. I don't have the right answer on which one of these teams, but I think there's a couple teams that you're talking double digits that you could get.
Hey, there's something else you can bet this weekend other than basketball and the UFC. We're going to bet some Daytona 500 when we come back. Phil Bobbitt, give us some information on that.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, you can be a VSiN Pro subscriber by heading over to VSiN.com/pro. And when you do that, Kelly Bidlin, you know what you get? You get those daily best bets. You get the betting splits. You get the guides. You get every single thing that we do. We get a pretty new website over there as well.
Mm.
All of that whenever you head over to VSiN.com/pro. That gets you. Also, the picks page, which we know everybody loves their picks. Everybody loves their picks page.
Yep.
Go in. You can sort that by sport. You can sort that by expert. You can sort that by date. You can sort that by everything that you want to. Go in and get all that as well. Again, VSiN.com/pro.
Along with the NBA primer at the break primer.
Oh, boy. But that's absolutely free.
It's absolutely free. That's right. So, anybody can get that.
Just saying. Like, that's not part of the pro thing. You ruin the promo, because that's free. Like, we're trying to sell some people some stuff here, that's free.
While you're signing up and you're waiting for that long time of the credit card thing. Transaction to go through, read the free guide.
There you go. Read the free betting primer over there as well. Kelly contributed at least a few words to it.
Yeah, that's like exactly accurate. It was a few words about the MVP candidates. Yes, that is absolutely accurate.
Kelly just sitting over here in disgust watching Tony Finau putt. Like, do you have Finau outright? Is that what it is?
No, I was going to, but like, you know, the classic birdie one, bogey two. Exactly, he birdies one, and I'm looking for a par putt on two, and it's Man, we were talking about, but he lines up far away from the ball. It's a little weird. And then he waggles with the putter, which you don't see often. You'll see that with the driver, right? Like, waggle at the driver, okay, and then let it rip.
I just love
it. I prefer my putters to put it nicely flat on the ground and prepare their line to the hole.
I just love that we were sitting here. I look over and Kelly honestly was literally disgusted whenever he looked over and saw Tony Finau putt.
Well, I mean, anybody could be put in my shoes. If you've ever had to sweat out Tony Finau making a putt ever for anything, it is not ever a comfortable feeling.
So I do not bet a ton of auto racing in general. That said, I've probably put a Daytona 500 bet in every year for the last 5 to 6 years. Would be my guess. And so Phil Bobbitt going to join us. You can catch him over at CBS Sportsline, at Speedway Steve over on the Twitter machine as well. And Phil, we are going to get your picks, and I don't want to put any additional pressure on you, but whatever you tell me to bet, I'm actually going to put into my account. So just know that whatever you say here is going to actually find its way into my betting account.
Well, and for fans of the show, Phil crushed it on F1 Vegas, so and he hasn't been back since. So yeah, good luck, Phil. Good luck. You got to back that up.
Well, good morning, fellas. Matt, get your abacus ready. You're going to need your calculator. We've got a list longer than a CVS receipt of outright winners. So lock in, take a screenshot of this. We've got 10 guys.
All right.
We're going with the old scattershot method. We're going to pepper the board and cross our fingers because Daytona is an absolute wild card. It's a 2.5 mile tri-oval super speedway, 31 degrees of banking in the corners. So these guys are boogieing around Florida like your grandmom at the disco. It's a drafting track. We're going to see a 40-car group hug at 200 miles an hour. So one wrong move, one wiggle, one late block, and it's a demolition derby. Also added into the mix, Ford and Toyota are rolling out new body styles. So it's kind of like NASCAR handed out new toys to play with, and everybody's still figuring out the instructions. So there's a lot of unknowns here. So I just want to highlight a couple guys here. We're going with Bubba Wallace, Christopher Bell, Ty Gibbs, Ross Chastain. Those are household names. Further down the list, though, I think we've got some value. We're going to be targeting Eric Jones. Eric Jones to win. You can find that around 35-1, 30-1. You're going to want to shop these. NASCAR odds is kind of like the Wild West. I mean, books just have not figured out how to do this efficiently. So you can get the price you're looking for. You got to shop. So Eric Jones in a Toyota. A Toyota won both of the duels last night, which was a bit of a surprise. And Eric Jones is kind of an unsung hero of these drafting tracks. He's got the fifth best average running position. He's got the seventh best average finishing position. He leads 7.5 laps a super speedway race. So he can get out front. He can lead a line. He's in a Toyota this year. So he's got new teammates, superstars, Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex, Christopher Bell. He's got a bunch of good pushers. I think we can see Eric Jones make a little noise on Sunday.
So, Phil, I have a question for you before we get into some of your other picks here. The thing that I've heard over the last couple of days is we have weather concerns over there at Daytona. Can you let everybody know how that, if at all, plays into your handicap in this? Because they're not going specifically this track, right? I mean, they are not going to run in the rain at all, right? So we could start, we could be stopping, we could be starting, we could be stopping, we could get delayed. All of that is on the table, correct?
Correct. Yeah, it's like that Family Guy meme. It's going to rain. It's going to rain all weekend, Saturday and Sunday. If there's even a hint of precipitation at these kind of tracks, they'll pause it, red flag it. I would imagine a Monday race is not out of the question here. So, at Daytona, I think it was August 2022, like a spring shower hit the track out of nowhere and it wiped out half the field. So they won't risk it after that. A Monday finish may not be out of the cards.
Gotcha. Okay. So we see if people watching with their VSiN Pro subscription, which, by the way, Kelly, it's VSiN.com/pro, and it's that's the one you pay for, not the free thing that you were offering up with all that.
But also,
you can see the graphic that is up on your screen. We got all your outrights. We have your head-to-head matchups as well. And I think the thing to point out here is on some of these outrights, you're starting at 20-1. It goes all the way to 80-1. Is that just the nature of this race in general that we have seen? I guess what Ricky Stenhouse last year at 40-1. We've had four of the last six go off at least 30-1 in this race because it is so incredibly volatile.
Correct. Yeah. Super speedways. We don't normally handicap the races like this. Normally we'll have a portfolio of three or four guys that we're targeting, but here I think it's more important to have somebody available at the end, because inevitably there will be a large accident. So we go with a larger portfolio, not for us, it's for you, you know, so you can have somebody alive. If you Dutch all these drivers, if you put them all together, it comes out to be about plus 250. So you're still doubling your money plus a little bit. So it makes sense. You know, and the odds make it that way. The books don't know who's going to win either. It's a very, very volatile market. Like Corey LaJoie, he almost cashed a 250-to-1 ticket for us in Atlanta on a super speedway in 2022. I get a little misty eyed every time I think about it, but that's another guy we're targeting 70-to-1. He led 19 laps in that race. He led Daytona, both Talladega races in 2022. He had his career best finishes twice, fourth place finish at Atlanta and Talladega last year. Those tracks compare favorably. He's also got a new tire specialist at Spire Motorsports that we love. Lots of new sponsorship dollars rolling in. Corey LaJoie might be a guy to keep an eye on.
Phil, of course, we want people to just follow your content over at CBS Sportsline. But if people do want to do a little bit of research for themselves, like you're talking about, okay, there's a new tire specialist. Do you handicap pit crews? Do you handicap different things? All that? Is this information readily available? Or is this like you got to really get into the weeds and start getting into stuff and you got to have a source or something like that?
Yeah, there are some data websites that you can subscribe to. There are some NASCAR hole-in-the-wall information websites. The tire specialist is my cousin, so I do have a read on that.
Well, that would be the source. That would be the source I was talking about. See, like, yeah, there you go.
That would do that.
Yeah, see, there's the source. The source is his family.
Shout out to Rob.
Yes. The source is his family.
Oh, that's great. All right, Phil, I got a question for you. I always love live betting Daytona. I'll usually roll into it with nothing. I'll wait for one of those first or second big crashes and then kind of, you know, pick a long shot there because I know another crash is probably going to happen. And then all of a sudden he might be the short shot in the race. Am I crazy or is there actually a bit of a strategy to live betting this race?
Oh, there's a lot of value to doing it that way. You know, because the books are algorithm based. So if you can catch them right after an accident or as soon as they open back up, you know, catch them before the computer knows what's going on the track. So I think there's a big strategy to that. You just pick a name and go for it, Kelly.
I like it. That's what I do every year. I'm doing it again this year.
Let's do it. Shoot me a text first. But there's three head-to-heads. These are a little bit more predictable. Mm-hmm. And I want to take Michael McDowell over Ricky Stenhouse. Like you said, Ricky won last year. So we've got some recency cooked into that. McDowell is a little bit better at finishing on these super speedways. He's 6-of-12 in the top 20 over the last 12 races. Stenhouse only 4-for-12. He's a more risky guy. McDowell, much better average finishing position, way better average starting position. So there's a lot more raw speed in that McDowell wagon. Give me McDowell plus 105 on DraftKings. And just a quick note, you'll go broke if you're laying juice in any head-to-heads on these. So look for plus money. And then find a reason to back it. Ty Gibbs over Joey Logano is another one, plus 110. Gibbs is a guy on the upswing. We love the Toyotas. They were very, very racy last night. We love them in race trim. I like Gibbs over Logano. Finally, Truex over Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch going to a backup car. He junked it last night. I like Truex. He's a Toyota. A lot of strength in those guys. Give me Martin Truex, even money over Kyle Busch.
Phil, we got 10 seconds. Your two favorite outrights in case people can't put all those in their account.
If you can't get them all, just bet Toyota to win plus 240 as the manufacturer. That's a nice portfolio of guys. They're going to be strong on Sunday. Let's get it to the window.
There it is. Phil Bobbitt, CBS Sportsline, at Speedway Steve over on the Twitter machine. Awesome information, man. Appreciate it.
Speedway Steve 2. Number 2 is important.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you are not already a DraftKings Sportsbook user, we have a great deal for you. New customers, go in, download that DraftKings Sportsbook, and when you deposit, use promo code VSiN. And what we are going to do for you, let me tell you, it should really hit home. Because if you go in and you make that first bet, up to $1,000, and you, for whatever reason, you get bad beat, it doesn't hit, we're going to give you up to $1,000 back in bonus bets in your account. Again, you have to use that promo code VSiN. Go in, make your deposit, and up to $1,000 on your first bet. We will give back to you if it doesn't hit in bonus bets. Promo code VSIN over at DraftKings Sportsbook. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin in for I am in for Gil. You're here every day, but I'm in for Gil. And
we're all in for Gil.
Closing things out. I will not be here next week. Gil will be out next week. I will not be here next week. So I know everyone out there, wipe your tears. I know you're sad. This is my last segment here on the desk with you, Kelly.
I'm accepting bids right now for a host, host for the week.
Anyone who wants to get in, I will try to close things out here strong, though, Kelly. We're going to try to close things out really strong. And one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to go back and say, Eric Jones, I'm calling it now. That's it from way downtown. Eric Jones.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
You're not going with your B's. You're not going with the B's.
Eric,
we got to get DraftKings to hang the Matt Brown bet the bees in NASCAR market.
Yes, Eric Jones to win the Daytona 500 is where we're going to go with that. So that's going to be in the account, and I think it was interesting to get the insight there that you could just bet manufacturer, and then that also gets you a portfolio of drivers to where you don't have to go in and just bet them individually.
Yep.
In the deal. So again, we talk about this in golf all the time, but it rings true in auto racing as well. Like, you don't just have to bet outright. It's like we say all the time, like, hey, you know, only one golfer wins a golf tournament. Well, the same thing can be said about an auto race. Like, only one guy wins, right? And so with that, you don't have to just continue to fire a million outrights. You can bet all alternate ways. He showed some head-to-heads as well that he was playing, and then also talked about you can just bet the groupings.
Well, and a couple things too, right? With, you know, Phil even brought it up. This is not the normal amount of outrights that they'll have for a race, but this race is known for all of the wrecks that you're going to have. So, I mean, like, you know, he's talking about his outright portfolio. That's when he mentioned, hey, this all comes out to about plus two, you know, a little over 2-1 is what you're talking about, because that's the way you should be looking at it. When you know only one of those is going to win, you're not going to get multiple of those home. I think the other point on his matchups that he brought up is great specifically for this race too, because how many favorites you want to be loading up on when you have way more the realistic possibility of a wreck taking out a guy here than you would at any other track, right? So I think that's important too. I think if you're looking to bet head to heads this week.
So I'm going to bet this guy because he sounds more like a golfer than a NASCAR driver. And I'm going to bet Harrison Burton.
Harrison Burton.
Harrison Burton.
I feel like first name golfer, last name NASCAR driver.
It's the thing, like, but I mean, even with, but here's the deal though. Like, if you didn't know that it was now, I could have said like, okay, hey, Corn Ferry player or whatever, Harrison Burton.
Oh, it's such a good game.
You wouldn't have known. Yeah, it would have just been a coin toss for you.
I wish we would have thought of this during the break. Nice. That would have been a great.
So there we go. Eric Jones, Alex Bowman, and Harrison Burton. Those are that's the portfolio.
But and that's another new B too. Harrison Burton's a new B.
Yes. Yes.
You could just play the B's on Phil's list. You get Bell, you get Bowman, you get Burton. That's three of them.
Well, then I should do Bell.
And he's got Blaney in a head to head.
Yeah. I should do Bell for sure too then. Okay, I'm gonna add four, so it's gonna be four drivers. So that just got me in on Christopher Bell.
I mean, I really feel like you came up with the bees.
Yeah, and then
you should really just be betting these every Daytona 500.
But then once it came out, like our esteemed colleague Wyatt will tell us, he'll walk in and go, hey, by the way, another B one.
Yeah, I mean, you get Blaney, Kyle Busch, Christopher Bell, William Byron, Chris Buescher.
Yeah.
Alex Bowman. I'm just keep on cruising. I'm just keeping on cruising. Harrison Burton, Chase Briscoe, Josh Berry. So many Bs.
Yes, there is
it's arguably the best letter to start your last name.
You know, the longest of shots is Anthony Alfredo. Can you kind
of like Tony Alfredo?
It's kind of like
Tony. You can't bet against Tony Alfredo.
Could you call him Tony Sauce?
Because Tony Sauce.
Man, if they don't call him Tony Sauce, let me tell you right now.
You can bet Tony Sauce and Kaz Grala is right above that name.
Tony Sauce at 100-1. We're putting in a Tony
Sauce. Going to have to now.
Yeah, we're putting in a Tony Sauce bet as well. So Tony Sauce.
Oh, here's another guy. Right. John Hunter Nemechek.
I think he's the son of, like, I've heard the, like, Nemechek, I'm pretty sure is a popular driver.
Okay.
With all that.
I'm going to take your word for that.
Yeah. In the UFC this week.
Oh yeah, you bet anything? Did you bet anything?
I bet Topuria. I did have him in the main event. Very short dog, plus 105. Jimmy Smith also likes Topuria as well. Had him on a little bit earlier. I think when we look, I mean, this is a dude that has come out and just been so. Look, there's...
I don't even know this guy.
They're basically the same size. There's an inch difference in height. There's only like an inch difference in reach. So you're looking at two jiu-jitsu black belts. They're both good at wrestling. They both have finishing power. Topuria has actually finished 9 of his 14 career wins in the first round.
That's not bad.
And so, look, you get Volkanovski, who's just a little bit... he's getting a little bit older, and he's been through some battles here of late, and I think Topuria, this is where he kind of goes out and really makes his mark in the sport, you know, knocking off one of the all-time greats in Volkanovski. So I do like Topuria in that one. And some of the other ones, like he said, you know, depending on your bankroll, the bankroll thing is a big deal in these fights because, Kelly, you mentioned we do get a ton of cards where there's huge lopsided, you know, favorites. But, yep. I mean, still, every bankroll's not built for a minus 238, minus 230, minus 240 favorite because, you know, if it, one goes sideways, we say this all the time, it's still one-on-one and they're 4-ounce gloves. Like, I mean, things can go wrong, you know? And so with that, I don't mind kind of like a Gary Whitaker parlay or something like that, you know, okay, to where like it softens the blow a little bit to a bankroll. Those guys both sitting kind of in that minus 240-ish range, which if you parlay them together, you actually get slight plus money. It's kind of like plus 103, 104, 105 if you get those guys together. So it's a way I think it's a little more appealing to a bankroll for most people out there.
Now, you are... I mean, Matt's dealt with done a lot with the UFC for a long time now, and bet it quite successfully. So I want to throw one question at you because I always think about this with parlays in the UFC. I always in the back of mind UFC betting. Okay, one shot can take someone down at any moment. Anything could happen. So it makes the risk of parlays right even a little bit more dangerous. But is that just more of a rookie mindset, like get over it? That's not really, that doesn't, you know, it's not going to play out in the long run that much that it really hurts the value of a parlay.
Yeah. I mean, look, you're going in it every single time knowing that there freak things can happen, you know, for sure. Your guy can be up 2.5 rounds and then just get clipped. There's this thing we used to joke about. It's called the punch of death. Right. And so like you can get clipped behind the ear. Right. And you'll see it and it'll happen on this card too. And you'll see and you're like, oh, that's a punch of death he was talking about. You get clipped behind the ear and it just, you lose all sense of where you're at and what's going on. So you're not like necessarily hurt.
Yeah.
But it puts you to where you have no idea like what kind of what's going on and puts you all kinds of wonky for a second. And then they hurt
Finish
you afterwards.
Him.
Yeah. And then they hurt you afterwards. Right. So it's not the actual punch itself that does the damage. It's the fact that you can't really see straight or whatever.
Right.
Cause it just gets your,
dazed.
It just gets you all discombobulated. And then like, you know, and you see that all the time. And so that can happen as well. But listen, I do believe though, for a lot of people, the more palatable way to go about betting fights is to kind of pair up two guys, pair up three guys or whatever. Bankrolls typically, specifically in a sport that you're not familiar with betting or that you're not comfortable kind of eating a bad loss with, it's tough to bet a 240 and for most bankrolls and then lose on a freak accident or something. Then you feel like an idiot. I do tell people if you're just stepping in and you just want some entertainment, pairing up two guys isn't the worst strategy here. It's okay. Just because, you know, I am bankroll conscious. You and I both.
Yeah,
I am bankroll conscious. I understand most people like laying 240 is just not an appealing bet.
I always like to talk to MMA bettors about that though, because I think it's one of those like too cool for school sharp thinking things that it's like.
What I will tell you is if you have a 3 or 4 legger and you've gotten the first two or the first three and or
buy out, cash out, hedge
or head, whatever. Yes. Yeah, because exactly what you just said.
Right.
Like it is always one weird punch away.
Yeah. I think that there is the novice who's like, okay, I'm going to parlay these cause I don't want to lay minus 230. I'm going to parlay these. And there's the next level person. It's like, well, you don't know if you want to do that cause one punch can take you out. And then you get back to the real sharper guys who play parlays in these all the time.
All right. We're going to go bet Jared Goff for MVP. We're going to tuck it away. We're going to forget about it until next January, Kelly. And then that's what's going to happen. And then we're going to be able to make some money off of that ticket.
Boom.
There it is.
If
anything happened this week, it's that people are going to leave with Jared Goff MVP tickets. How about that?
There we go.
Sound good. Kelly will be back next week. I will not. Good luck on all your bets.